Good. Well, it's a joy to be back. I was trying to remember when I was last here, but I think I was talking about becoming a people of blessing. And so now the title is Stepping into the Power of Blessing. And it reminds me of, I think there's a ministry in North Carolina, and they talk about the 22-inch journey, because there's a journey from your head to your heart, and it's about 22 inches. And we were with some Danish talking about local houses of prayer, and at the end of our time together, there was this lovely Danish lady called Inga, and we just had supper together. And I didn't understand anything that they were talking about, because it was all in Danish. But this lady, Inga, she had her foot up in the air like this. And I'm like, what are they talking about? And she said, we need to know the next step. What are we going to step into? So my hope today is that, I think as Darren shared, there'll be some stuff that goes from our head to our heart. It's no good just, you know, being theologically challenged, but these things have to go into our heart. And I wonder how much the distance is from our heart to our feet. So just in terms of some of the things that we'll be looking at, just understanding our calling as part of the priesthood, a priesthood of all believers, and then also we'll be doing some activation stuff, actually, so that we can actually step into being a conduit of God's blessing. You know, Abraham was blessed, but he was blessed not just to be blessed, but to be a blessing. The blessings were always there to flow out. I think I shared a little bit about Felda Brennan. I actually live up the A34 in Oxfordshire, in Stamford-in-the-Vale, but I'm full-time on the team at Felda Brennan. And we'll be going there with a whole bunch of people coming over from France and Switzerland and Belgium tomorrow. I shared a little bit about it, and I know that many of you know about Felda Brennan, but I just want to tell one story because it links to what I want to share today. I mean, I don't know about you, but I just love the presence of God. Moses says, you know, don't send me from this place unless your presence is going with us. We have the privilege of moving around quite a bit, actually, but I always say that, Lord, I don't want to go anywhere, not even to Kennet Christian Centre, unless your presence is with us. And that's certainly something that we're leading into. We've been through our own serious season of brokenness, so there's no sense of, you know, we've reached a height, you know, but there is something stirring, and I think the story has been emerging that have, you know, encouraged so many of us are only just a taste of what's to come. And I just want to share one story because it relates to what I want to talk about and actually what we were praying into this morning. And that was a story of a lady. I don't think I told this story last time, but she was in that little chapel. And you can see the little chapel on the left-hand side. And she was in the little chapel. And she sensed she'd heard God saying, go and check your colostomy bag. You know, and she thought, oh, this is a distraction because I'm here to pray. You know, I'm here to pray. I don't want to go and check my colostomy bag. But this thought didn't go away. So she went to check her colostomy bag. And when she tried to get the tube back into where it is supposed to go, there was no place for the tube to go. So she went to her doctor on the Monday morning. And the doctor sent her straight to the hospital in Cardiff, and the surgeon. And the surgeon brought in his team to examine her. And then he wrote a letter. And the letter went something like this. Me and my team have examined this lady. I performed, I can't remember whether it was 10 or 11 operations on this lady's bowel. We have her bowel, now this is the bit I want to focus on, her bowel was irredeemable. So they had to remove it. And then he wrote, we have no explanation why everything is now in perfect working order. She had had 10 or 11 operations on her bowel. She'd been abused as a child, and that's why she had so many problems. And even with her C-section scar, that she had also, that had also disappeared. Now, I tell you that story because I want you to lean into it. I want you to lean into your story. The fact that God has seen you from the beginning, he's seen the brokenness, and there is nothing, nothing that is irredeemable in the way he moves. You can almost feel, you know, when the surgeon wrote her bow was irredeemable, you can almost feel Jesus going, irredeemable. Who do you think you are? No, I honour our medics, don't get me wrong, you know, and I'm not saying that everybody who goes to Feldbrennen is miraculously healed. I went through my own journey with cancer. So I'm not saying that, but you get the point of the story, that Jesus is up to something, and he has seen you, he's seen me, and he's calling us to dream. He's calling us to dream for the immeasurably more that we wouldn't even dare to dream for. I've just come back a few days ago from Serbia, and we were talking about the young people there, and the leaders who we'd done Local House of Prayer training with, you said, you know, our generation, we don't know how to dream. But we need to be a people who dream. We need to be a people of hope, because those who have the most hope will have the most influence. So I think I said last time, I hope I said last time, and I still believe it this time, that we are in or coming into an appointed time. I believe this with all my heart. I don't know. You know, God's timings, you know, Bible's around the corner and everyone says it's a long corner, and I would agree with both, you know. But I remember speaking on the east side of Scotland at a filling station, and about these two words, that at the appointed time, you know, the vision comes, Abraham and Sarah, at the appointed time. So I do believe this, and I do believe we've got to get ready. And I was on the east side of Scotland, and I think I told you this story again. 36 hours on, I was on the west side of Scotland because I wanted to hear the stories of two ladies that were alive during the Hebridean revival. And I sat at their feet and I heard their stories, sat by the coal fire, and I said, do you think God might be renewing his works? It's what you kind of almost prayed into. And they repeated the same two verses that I had spoken on from Genesis 18:14 and Habakkuk 2:3. The vision is for appointed time. And they told us stories of the ship that went past in the sea, and even the ships knew that the presence of God had landed. But I wanted to tell another story. At the same time, I went and I sat in the croft of a guy whose father had prayed at that time. So his father was a young boy at that time, and he had prayed. And when this son told me the story, I can't describe what it was like, but he said his father had prayed, you have promised to pour out the water on the dry ground. And then he said, and your honor is now at stake. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't even imagine. I mean, but it was at that point the building shook. Two ladies, you may know the stories, you know, they just heard the voice of God. They just heard of what, you know, when they said, when they'd seen what they'd seen in a vision, they called up Duncan Campbell and they said, would you come and help us? And Duncan Campbell looked at his diary and said, you know, he said, no, I can't do it until next spring or whatever. These two ladies had heard the voice of God. Their response was, that is what man has said. God has said otherwise. This is what these two ladies said. He will be with us within the fortnight. And he was. Now, I say that story to just encourage you. My husband was reading to me, and if those of you follow YouVersion, it was from Isaiah 55, verse 11. It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It accomplishes all what and it will prosper everywhere I send it. So the things that God has said to you, my prayer today is that you'll remember those things. And not only you'll remember those things, that God would, just faith would rise in you. That what he has said, the word is still good. And, you know, when we remember Jesus coming, because what are we actually dreaming for? Well, Jesus came to bring the kingdom, the king's domain here on earth as it is in heaven. You know, when he taught us to pray, your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. That is his will. That's not just to keep us busy. That's what he wants and that's what he purposes. Our destiny is to go to heaven. Our calling now, and this is every one of us, is to release heaven's purposes here on earth, here in this city, this town rather, of Newbury. And the veil of the white horse, which is just over, which is where I come from. This is his purpose. And, you know, Jesus talked about it, and we see it throughout the New Testament. When he talked about the oengelion, sometimes our gospel is too small. We think of the passport that we have to heaven, and that's a good... But we forget that he wants his kingdom released here on earth. And, you know, there was a new rule, there was a new reign, there was a coronation. Everybody knew that there was change afoot when Jesus came. And he not only spoke about it, he demonstrated. And it's a consistent theme throughout the Gospels. And, you know, the thing is, I don't know about you, but I just think God could do that all by himself. And yet he chooses to use us, ordinary people. And I don't know what this new move of God is going to look like, but my guess is it's going to be an army of ordinary people. Not people with microphones and platforms. It's the ordinary people understanding who they are, taking their place, who Christ is in them, the hope of glory, and doing the kingdom business stuff. And I love that question of, you know, Moses when he says, who am I? I mean, Moses, if you look at the Bible, and if you are thinking, who am I? Know that you're not the only one. I mean, most of the people called by God, Moses included, who am I? Who am I to go, you know? And you know, God didn't really, well, he did answer the question, but he didn't say, oh, Moses, you're so good at doing this. You are so amazing. You've been in the palaces. That's what. He didn't say any of it. He said, my presence will go with you. My presence will go with you. And so we see this calling of us to be part of this priesthood. And before we look at the power of blessing, we need to understand who we are. We are called to be a royal priesthood. That is who we are. And Jesus calls us to be co-workers. You know, he could do it all by himself, but he chooses right from the beginning, he wants to do this through his people. I mean, that's a risky plan in my book, but anyway, that's the way he's done it, and that's the way he intends to do it, and we might as well just get over ourselves and wake up to it and jump in. But I remember when I was a leader or serve on a ministry called Local House of Prayer, which is a ministry coming out of Fouderbrennan, and when I was in the little chapel there, sensing a little tap on the shoulder, will you take this? I was in floods of tears, and I'm like, I didn't say it aloud, but I was like, seriously, how many people have you asked to do this before you got to me? I mean, 200, 300, I have no idea, but honestly, I am not qualified to do this. That was my, honestly. And, but I said yes. Because when we do the things that we're not qualified to do, that's what qualifies us. You know, if we're qualified to do something, we may just depend on our own great skills. But actually, that's not what Moses wanted. You know, it's my presence. my son. We got, I don't know whether how many people were watching the rugby match yesterday or will be watching it later on today. But I remember when I was struggling with this imposter syndrome, you know, this thing of like, who am I? I mean, quite frankly, who am I to be here speaking to you? You know, I mean, whatever, but who am I? My son, he gave me a useful tip. He said, the thing is, Mum, he was playing rugby in Belgium, not national stuff, just locally, but he said, my job is to tell my coach whether I'm available. It's not my job to select the team. Jesus, I mean, the coach does that. But you get the point. This is a season where we tick the I'm available. It's about our ability. Hallelujah. It's about our availability. And God can do the rest. So, and it's all about his presence. So I just want to commend to you the Bible Project. I don't know if any of you have come across that, but it's just really simple, animated 2-3 minute clips. And they have done an incredible series on the priesthood. So I just want to flag that to you. Maybe a link could be shared on that. It's called The Royal Priesthood. And I'll go through some of the things, but also want to flag this book, The Widening Circle. Not that I'm recommending you necessarily go out and buy it, but I love the strapline, because the strapline of this book is God's way of changing the world. Priesthood, God's way of changing the world. You know, this just, if God wants to change the world, it just might be a little bit important that we don't leave it to the people on the platforms to do everything, that we realize this is a royal priesthood and we're all part of it and we all get to play. So just a start of a 10 on that royal priesthood. You know, time and again, from Eden to Melchizedek, Abraham, David, the whole thing was leading up to Jesus, the royal priest, restoring what was lost and then giving us these keys. Okay, so I'm not going to go into that, but it's all about the same thing. These people taking a place, pronouncing God's blessings, and seeing him come. So I'll leave you with that. I'm going to just play a short clip, and this is based on Deuteronomy 10:8. I just want to do a hands up to Andy Flanagan, who put this clip together, because I remember him up and say, Andy, some of you may know Andy, he works in politics, Christians in politics. I said, could you do a clip? And I want Deuteronomy 10:8, Leviticus 9, 1 Peter 2:9, something about God transforming all the spheres of influence. And also, could you just put in something about restoring relationships, man with God, man with the land, man with each other. And I felt this silence on the phone. And anyway, half an hour, he came back with this. So we're just going to listen to this clip, and then we're going to start activating what we're talking about here in blessing. But this hopefully will just give you the vision for what we're talking about. So if we can play that, that would be amazing.
Words fill our lives. Every 24 hours, there are 500 million new tweets, 18.7 billion new text messages, and 306 billion new emails. And that's on top of the trillions and trillions that are there already. By 2025, it's estimated there will be 175 zettabytes of data in the global data sphere. That's your phone storage times 2 to the 16n. It's easy to feel overwhelmed. Leviticus chapter 9 has a story about words that might just help us. Aaron uses some words to speak a blessing over the people. Nothing happens. The tent of meeting together. They come out. They bless the people again. This time are holy pyrotechnics. People on their faces and deep joy. What was the difference? They were carrying the presence. How many words do we speak that just add to the billions of words already in the world without having an impact? Because we haven't first welcomed the presence of Jesus to our faces. Remarkably, the
this is now not just a job for the special people in funny outfits like Aaron and Moses. Thanks to the work of the ultimate priest, we can all now be priests, called simply to carry, stand, and bless, as in Deuteronomy chapter 10. At that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to minister and to pronounce blessings in his name. In local houses of prayer, people are discovering the transformative power of welcoming the presence of Jesus to a place, and then from that place proclaiming the blessing of God with the delegated authority we have been given. In the modern world, we often forget how powerful words can be. In most democracies, we know producing a new law takes years of research and process and grappling and voting. This hasn't always been the case. When a queen or king pronounced something, it was the law from the moment it left their lips. That's speaking with authority. We can literally speak things into being. That's how powerful words can be. That's what it means to be anointed or to undergo a coronation. We are made royal in the presence. But what are we blessing? Yes, we bless people, but not just people. We bless places, systems, structures, councils, the land. In Croatia, a teacher blesses her pupils, and they excel far beyond expectations in their exams. In the Middle East, neighbours bless their tower block and see how everyone is miraculously happier. In Uganda, government ministers relay the transformation through speaking blessing to their cabinet colleagues. In Oxfordshire, a farmer blesses his sheep and all 250 of them fall pregnant. That's not normal, by the way. This is how the spheres of culture are influenced and transformed. Are you ready to carry, stand, and bless? Are you ready to be the priest God has called you to be in your street or in your workplace? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies into his marvelous light." Are you ready to be part of an army of ordinary people, proclaiming words of reconciliation and redemption, that healing would come to the relationships between us and God, us and others, us and ourselves, and us and the rest of creation? Let's choose our words carefully and make them count for eternity. Local houses of prayer are here to support and encourage you on that journey. Join us.
So just to, before we get into a sort of brief activation part, just to emphasize, some of those scriptures. "So shall you speak to the people of Israel, and I will bless them." It goes back to the same point. You know, we take our part and we speak, and the Holy Spirit comes and does what he can do. So just a few of those. It's almost as though we're putting a target on people and on places. And the Holy Spirit says, "Yes, and I will come and bless." So just a few things there. And the piece that I love about this is sort of in Leviticus 9, we see what is happening. You know, Aaron goes and does this, just speaks a blessing. Not a lot happens first time. Moses says, "Come into the tent of meeting." This is all about the presence of God. Come into the tent of meeting. He does exactly the same thing, and fire falls and everyone is flat on their faces. So it's all about the presence of God. So there's those two. So what I'd like us to do is to put these things into practice. We've been standing in his presence. When we're walking down a street and we feel we want to bless someone, we don't have to say, "Hang on a minute, I need to go back into the tent of meeting." This is a lifestyle, a posture, where we understand Christ is indeed in us, the hope of glory. But we stand, we carry, and we speak blessings. So I'm just going to ask my husband to come up here. And I don't know whether there is anybody who'd like to receive a blessing at all. Yes, I saw your hand go up first. It's Avril, is it?
Yvette,
sorry. So if we come over here, I just want to demonstrate something, and then we're going to get you just blessing one another, okay? So the door is locked, by the way, you can't get out. I know people don't like this bit when they have to do, but it's important to step in. That's what we're here for, stepping in. So I'm asking my husband here, who's a very cool guy and definitely the better half, to be God for a moment, okay? And then if I was, I want to demonstrate the difference, because for some of us, we're used to praying, but we're not that used to blessing. And it is a difference. And, you know, if we're to reach the heights of what God is calling us into, we do need to, I believe, understand it. It's one of the things that God is just breathing on. I think Justin Welby said, before any new move of God, there's a new wave, an expression of prayer. It's almost as though God breathes on something for the new season. And I think this is what he's breathing on for us to grab hold of so that we're ready. So if I was praying for it, interceding for Yvette, I'm standing in the gap between God and Yvette. And I'd be saying, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Yvette. And I ask that you would move in her life in new and fresh ways. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Agreement for that. And I'm standing in the gap. Now, if I'm going to bless Yvette, I'm not doing this in my own authority. Jesus came and there was a battle around keys, you know, and he's come to give us these keys. And it's not good enough to say, who am I? Because get over yourself. That's Jesus's problem. He's fought to give you these keys. Step into it. Sorry if I was a bit, you know, but yeah. So I'm doing this not in my own authority, but in the delegated authority that Jesus has given. And just to give you some inside info, I'm not one, you know, some of you I know will be one. You're about to pray for somebody. All of these pictures come to mind just like that, just when you want them. It doesn't happen for me. I'm just telling you. I'm just being honest. But I just always want to be a conduit of God's blessing. And so that's my internal prayer as I seek to step into this. And you'll remember, so shall they speak to the people of Israel, and I will bless them. So I'm going to actually speak to Yvette now, because I'm not speaking to God, I'm speaking to Yvette. Okay, so that's just another thing. So Yvette, I bless you now, in Jesus' name. I bless you that as you come to him in new and fresh ways, as you watch the things, the new things that he's going to do in and through you, as you keep company with him, that you would just come into a new season of just freedom and grace, and these rhythms of grace would just be unfolding in your life and through your life over and over and over and over again. And I bless you, Yvette, that as you've humbled yourself under his mighty hand, that he would raise you up in this new season. I bless your voice, that as you hear his whispers and release his heart to people and places, and even I'm hearing nations, that the Lord would use you powerfully, and that there'll be this carpet rolled out in front of you, that the Lord would show you where he wants you to go. I don't understand that, but there we go. We're in it together. And so I bless you, Yvette, that, these rivers of living water would not only refresh you, but flow out of you to bring healing and restoration to the places and the people that you love. And that you will know that the things that he's promised you is for real. That faith would rise up again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so you see the difference here between intercession, when I'm praying to God, and we need to keep doing that. I'm not saying stop doing that, but I'm also saying, let us speak and release God's blessings. And wasn't it interesting in COVID that that was the song that went across all nations? So I just want to give you 3 or 4 minutes just to, you know, pair up with somebody next door. If there's a 3 you want to, or if it's a 2, but just to bless each other and just to put this into practice. And do you know what? It's okay to make mistakes. In Denmark, I love it. They were talking about, we have this thing called try balloons. You know, you just put up a balloon and you try something. Well, we have the Holy Spirit here with us, and he is here to help us But let's just stand into this place and bless one another for a few minutes. Okay, so I'm just going to give you 5 minutes total, that's all, to just lean into this and bless one another. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to just help us. Thank you that you're our helper, that you're our helper. Amen. Okay, if you have yet to finish some things, you can carry on going at coffee time. Okay, how many people were blessed? Okay, good, good. How many people found that just a little bit difficult? Yeah, I remember so well being in India, and it was, there were probably about 80 people, and we were sharing about this in a hill station, and the person I was with asked those two questions: how many people were blessed? And everybody put their hand up. And then he said, and how many people found that a little bit difficult? And everybody put their hand up. And then he said, and I never heard this before, but he'd worked in leadership development, he said, the statistics or the research says that you need to do something 23 times before it becomes common practice. Okay, so there's at least 23 people in this room. So if you found it difficult, just keep going. And can I just say, you know, I mind if somebody doesn't look at me because they don't want to look at me, that's fine. But it is actually quite helpful to keep your eyes open if you're blessing them, because then you keep in that mode of actually, I am speaking to you. Okay, so there's a little thing. And then you just start with, I bless you. And those of you who, you know, who do get pictures and who are moving in the prophetic, you know, you will find that things just come. And you will also feel, I mean, for me, you know, it's often as I'm in the process of blessing that something just comes and you sense the Lord's breath on it. Okay, but starting with scripture is a good place to start. Okay, and using those as blessings, and just say, I bless you in Jesus' name. Just a few things as well, that, because we're going to do this a bit for our communities here, but I remember, so there's this bird with two wings, praying and blessing, but blessing your land and blessing what God is doing. And I'll come back to this in a minute, but I remember doing some online training, and there were some guys coming in from Australia. And at the end of it, there was a mother who reached out to me through the person who was supporting the network there. And because her daughter, who's 9 years old, had said at the end of this training, goodness knows what time of night it was in Australia, Mummy, can I start a local house of prayer? I'm looking at you, because I don't know how old you are, but anyway. And she said... And so we had a conversation with them on the thing, thinking, I know we need to get some resources together for the young people, because I actually believe that it's going to be the young people who hear the voice of God that will have the keys of David on their shoulder. And as we create spaces for them to hear, that the Lord will just open up our communities. So this isn't just a nice thing to do for kids. That's what I actually believe. And anyway, so I'm on this call with this lady, and who's the mother, and she's explaining to me, she said, you see, the thing is, my daughter said, it's, and her daughter was explaining to her, it's like this, Mummy, okay, it's like this, Mummy, in heaven there are all these blessing bombs, and what you have to do is you pick them up and you throw them, but Mummy, you, and then there's this confetti that sort of lands all over the place. But you can't draw it, Mummy, because there are different colors in heaven than there are on earth. Now, if that's not a picture of transformation, I mean, I was learning about a ministry that I'm supposed to know about secondhand through the mother of a... Are you getting it? You know, seriously? And then she said, but Mummy, do you put your earplugs in? Mother's like, what are you talking about? You have to listen. You have to hear the Father's heart of what he wants to bless in your community. Wow. So, a few things there. Blessing your land, blessing what God is doing. Jesus, how do you see this piece of earth? How do you see this street? What are you doing here? Asking the Lord, what are you doing? And partnering with it as you take your place as priesthood. Because I remember doing a local house of prayer training years ago in Telford. And this prophetic lady had this, actually no, it was Shrewsbury. But this lady from Telford, she had this thing of local authority. Now, she and I had both been working in local government in leadership development stuff. So we thought it was about local government. But actually, God has given you authority of your patch. That's your place. And you have authority there that I don't have because it's the place where God has placed you. So want to say that there are a few little... Now, this really won't work for you, but I mean, if you go to Felder Brennan, I happen to be there on a Friday, we encourage you to speak blessings over the valley there. And so we got little Friday blessings here that we use. But it's only a structure. It won't work in Newbury because in Felder Brennan there are more sheep than there are people. But nevertheless, you get the point. So if you want to pick one of those up, because sometimes it's helpful to have a simple structure to learn from. So when we ask the Lord to, how do you see this piece of earth, pay attention to what he shows us, okay? Because I know a bit between our land and your land, you know, over the downs there's been bloodshed, there's been idolatry, there's all sorts of stuff, and these things defile the land. So just pay attention and do whatever God... I'm not trying to be clever on this. This is simple. You know, this is just blessing is an antidote of curses. And when things have defiled the land, we just need to deal with them, that the blessings of God would and the blood of Jesus would be pressed in. So just give you that as a starter. And what I'd like us to do now, we're going to ask the worship guys to come up here. So lovely that we hadn't even asked them, but this song was already on their radar. And when you listen, and I'd like us all to stand and join in with this. Well, if those who are doing live streaming, if you can make sure that we don't film what's on the screen, because this is for whatever reasons that we have to be careful about. But it's a song, We Seek Your Kingdom. And what I'd like us to do, and Holy Spirit, we just welcome you now, that as we sing this song, as we take our place, would you speak to us? Would we put our earplugs on? Would we hear your heart for this town, for this region, for this place, and the transformation that you want to bring? So that is my heart for this time, as we sing this together, as we stand together, as we worship together, but also as we have one ear to listen to the Father's heart. So this is a song, Andy Flanagan, and take us away, take us where you'll have it here, and they're joining in. It was already on their list to play, and it was already in my heart to share this again. So do stand up and let's sing this together. Father, that is our heart, that all these different, just remain standing, because we're just going to speak blessings over this community. But we just thank you, Lord, for these different spheres, our schools, our hospitals, the places of Christian worship, the families, the businesses. And in Jesus' name, we say we bless them now in Jesus' name, that they may have divine solutions to serve this community. And let's just say together, we bless you in Jesus' name. You in Jesus' name. And we bless all the relationships between fathers and sons and mothers and daughters in this community. We bless them that they would be strong, that they would be healthy. We bless the fathers to take their place, that they may know their true father. And we bless each of these households in this community, that they would hear the father's love song singing over them. And we bless the relationships between these households, between each other, and particularly between them and the land that they're placed on. And we say together, we bless you in Jesus' name. And we bless all the businesses in this area that are healthy and good. And we bless you that you'll have enough to live on and enough to give back to this community. And we say together, we bless you in Jesus' name. And we bless the schools. We bless the young kids in those schools and the older kids, that they would be safe places, that they would be safe places, and that those teachers, we bless your voice, that they may be heard, and that you may have a voice to bring hope into these situations and into these schools. We bless them in Jesus' name, and we say together, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys so much. Praise God. That's great. Thank you. Just a few thoughts as we bring this to a close. Do sit down. But you see what's happening here as we recognize our calling as part of a priesthood, that we come into agreement with each other as we've done. And that could just be one or two people. An alignment with heaven's purposes for his blessings to flow to our communities. We don't just need a revival. We need a reformation of some of these systems and structures. And I just want to say two things as we finish. One is, I think I showed you this slide before, but it was a small boy who was small at the time. He's a bit bigger now. And it was on a day when we had decided to give up this thing about local house of prayer. We had no plan. We have no budget. It's still true now, really. But anyway, and so David and I walked down our little lane and we thought, you know what, let's just give up. Because honestly, this is too difficult, which seemed like a very sensible, logical thing to do. But that day, this little boy, we just had a new delivery of logs. And that boy saw the delivery of logs. He said, oh, I want to go and help. They call me Annie down the street. I want to help Annie stack her logs. So he came in. And I said to this little boy, because I knew he heard the voice of God, even though he has not from any church background at all, I said to him, which is not normally a question I'd ask, how's your prayer life going? He said, oh, no, it's quite good, actually. I've got a notice board and I've got these prayers. I'm like, gosh, it sounds better than mine. But anyway, and then he says, have you got a moment? And I knew it was serious. So he said, come in. And I said, yeah. And I called in my husband for reinforcements. And he came and he sat in my sitting room. This is on the day that we decided to give up. He said, never give up. He didn't point at me like that, but I mean, I felt the point of God, I can tell you. Never give up. You are important to God and he is watching over you. Spread happiness and look after yourself. Well, I haven't dared give up since. And, you know, we were just trying to work out when it was, but I was in Egypt and there was this guy from Ukraine, and he said, Anne, will you come to Ukraine? This is before the war, because we've started a local house of prayer, we've translated the resources, but we're not seeing the fruit of what we want to see. And I'm like, of course I'll come. And then I remembered this little boy. So I said to him, never give up. You're important to God, and he's watching over you. Spread happiness, look after yourself. He picks his car up from Kyiv airport 24 hours later, and that's the car that's parked next door to his. Never give up. And I just want to say, if you're thinking, I come from a broken place, my background is too broken, God cannot use you, let me tell you, Isaiah 61, verse 4, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon them, he sets the captives free. They are the ones who rebuild the broken walls. Okay? The prisoners who've been set free are the ones who rebuild the broken walls. Let us be ready to serve the most broken. That's really all I want to say. Let's just keep going. And I will never forget being in the Albert Hall. And, you know, we know that Americans, they may look like us, but we're a bit different. And this was a guy who was in the Albert Hall. He picked up his microphone and he was getting a message across about, you know, that passage from Elisha, you know, keep striking the ground. You know, the one is like, I mean, Elisha said this to this king at the end of his life, and then he got cross with this guy because he just went one, two, three, and that was it. And he says, you're not going to get full victory here because you did not keep going. So this American guy picked up a microphone. Us Brits would never do this, and I won't do it now. But he picked up his microphone in the Albert Hall. I don't know whether he broke the right phone, but he certainly got the message across. We were, even as Brits, we were all stamping our feet. We need to be a people that keep going. So I want to bless you now in Jesus' name, that you will know the things that the Lord is calling you to step into, that you will know that you are indeed a royal priest, that God has seen, he's seen you, and he has plans and he has purposes for you. And I want to bless the fire that you have in your hearts, the longing that you have for more, that it'll be a fire that you cannot contain and that you cannot control, and that you may light many fires in this community and in the nations that you love. That the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as these songs raise up from the lands and the places that we come from. In Jesus' name, amen.